Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We read this parable, the parable of the rich fool, and you may be like me, at least in part, in saying, what exactly did he do wrong? His land produced abundantly, and so he took advantage of that. He had obviously worked hard to make sure that he had land and had good land. He had obviously purchased it or whatever so that it would produce well. He had been wise in what he planted and how he did it and how he tended it, obviously, or how he had others tend it or whatever, and it produced abundantly. And then he was planning for the future, and he said, "Obviously, I don't have enough space in my barn, so I'm going to build bigger barns." Everything that he does just seems to be like anyone in business would do. You would think ahead, you would plan. You would plan for different things. Then you might say, "Look, now I've accomplished this, and so now I can sort of breathe easy and relax." I mean, nothing too terribly out of line, nothing too terribly wrong in the midst of that. So exactly what did he do wrong? Well, if you look at it, you begin to understand pretty quickly that he was focused solely on that. And he wasn't focused on what God might require of him. And you say, wait a minute, requirement. So are you saying salvation's based on requirements, and that is resurrecting the law? And Paul spent a lot of time in the New Testament saying, don't resurrect the law. The law is dead. We're saved by grace, and grace is a gift from God. We're saved by faith, and faith is a gift from God. And we're saved through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. And so don't start talking about requirements of salvation. And actually, we're not. We're talking about what God, looking at us, requires of us. Not on the basis of whether or not we have salvation, but on the basis of whether or not we're walking the walk that God would have us to walk, whether or not we are accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish, whether or not we're fulfilling what we should do, and gratitude for all that God has done for us. A requirement for being a child of God, being one who bears the name of Christ into the world. The requirement is that God takes priority. It's sort of like requirement in marriage, that you love one another and that you cherish one another, but also that you put that person first in many different ways in your life, in what you do and how you accomplish things. And so God looks at us as individuals, and he looks at us and says, where are your priorities? Where are your priorities in living? You have faith, you have grace. I've saved you through the blood of Christ, and I've saved you through the power of the resurrection. And Christ will come again, and we will rejoice in that. But where are you on your walk of discipleship? The rich fool had trouble with that because his life was focused on his possessions. We can also understand that he was focused on himself. I find it interesting if you notice there in verses 17 through 19, those three verses that he mentions I six times. I, what should I do? For I have no place. What, I will do this. I will put by my bars. I will store my gains. And I will say to my soul. So he mentions I six times, which, you know, Jewish numerology, seven is the number of God. Six is the number of Satan because it's one less than God. So he mentions it six times. I don't know if that's supported. I think it's interesting. But he mentions himself six times in those few verses. His focus is on himself. And part of what we're to do as Christians is to make sure that we're not focused on ourselves, but that we are focused on others, focused on the needs of others, focused on how we represent Christ to them. And that's not always easy. That's not always easy to do at all. But if we realize that others might not, as you've heard before, might not see Christ except in you that day, at that time, then you realize the importance of being focused beyond the end of our nose, focused more than on me and I, but focused on the needs of others, because Christ gave his life for others, and Christ was resurrected for others, and Christ will come again for others. And so we need to understand the importance of that as well. But also the fact that the parable of the rich fool was the fact that he practiced folly. His folly was thinking that his sum total of existence was what he had and what he had accumulated, what he had done. And we admire him for what he's been able to accomplish. We tend to admire people who work hard and accomplish things. And life wasn't necessarily easy for him, but he accomplished these things. But he was still practicing folly. And I think that's why in the scripture, in this parable, he's called a fool. You know, fool is one of those words that we don't like to call people. Because, you know, the scripture says if you call someone fool, you're in danger of hell's fire. Because then you're judging someone else. And the Bible is full of many times that tells us not to judge others. So if you say you're a fool, then you're definitely judging others in the midst of that. But we can say that he practiced folly. We're all guilty of that. Sometimes when something is vitally important right before us, we find ways to go around it. Vitally important in the lives of others, we find ways to go around it. We find ways to divert our attention away from the needs of the world so that our lives are not upset, so that our purposes are not upset, so that we can accomplish our goals. And how many times are we going to say me and our mind? We end up saying it more than six times. We end up practicing folly instead of practicing the wisdom of God. L.P. James was a very prominent theologian back before World War II. And he said something about each one of us in one of his writings. He said, each one of us has a coward and a hero within us. The coward craves safety, and the hero craves victory. But the coward craves safety. Above all things, safety. The rich fool in this parable was providing for himself very carefully. And again, we tend to admire people who plan for the future and who take care of themselves and their families. But that is the coward's way, according to L.P. James. They're craving safety instead of victory. We realize that many times God calls us to step out beyond ourselves, step out beyond our abilities to accomplish something else for God, to accomplish something that we might not be able to succeed in doing, but that we grow through trying. So this past week, I was at a district meeting, and our district superintendent didn't preach on cowards and heroes, but he preached about keeping your eyes on Christ. And I thought it was very powerful. Heather and Stephen were there. We were sitting together. He said, you know, life is about balance. And you have to balance out you know, the fact that if you have Christ here and you here, then you try to balance the two. You try to make it to where, you know, my emphasis on Christ is at least the same as my emphasis on myself. Or perhaps we realize maybe it needs to be more emphasis on Christ and less emphasis on myself, and more on Christ and less on myself. And until we get to the point to where we realize self is no longer so important and Christ is. And then he did something, and I thought it was very amazing. He balanced the umbrella on his finger, and he showed how the only way that you could do it would be to keep your eyes on the top of the umbrella, on the handle, which we say now is representing Christ. And he says, if you take your eyes off of Christ, the umbrella will fall. If you start looking back at the bottom, it won't work. You can only do it by focusing on Christ. So I thought, wow, that will work for coward and hero. The coward craves safety. The hero craves victory, keeping our eyes on Christ. Until when I got home and I tried to do it, guess what? I can't do it even if I keep my eyes on Christ. And he could just stand there and do it and stand there and do it. And so immediately what I said was, I'm not going to do that in front of the congregation because I'll look like a fool. And so I said, nope, bad illustration. I'm not going to do it because I can't do it very well. And so therefore I'm not going to do it. Until I realized, wait a minute, coward or hero? Let's see, that's the whole point of what you're preaching on is, do we do those things that promote our safety, our comfort, or do we step out in faith, keeping our eyes on Christ, realizing that sometimes we will fail, but that at least we're trying, at least we're stepping out, at least we're saying, I would prefer to be comfortable, I would prefer you not to see how I have to struggle with this, but at the same time, Renee's really getting a kick out of that. But at the same time, that really gets you nowhere. We have to step out in faith. We have to do what Christ is calling us to do so that we can accomplish what God is calling us to do. I'm going to stop trying to do that. The marvelous thing is Christ understands exactly who we are and where we are. Christ gave us this parable so that we might be motivated to have our emphasis, to have our eyes on him through all things, and to understand that it's too easy in this world to practice folly when actually we can practice victory. Let's have a word of prayer.